For now, though, I want to focus on the concept of homelessness. And I think the concept of a homeless shelter is something we all have a degree of awareness of at some level and a vague idea of how it might function. There is an awareness that there is a minimal fee involved, that a homeless person will receive a meal and a place to sleep for the night. But also, I think probably most have an awareness that it's not a permanent solution, that they will have to move on the next day with no guarantee of space the following night and no knowledge of where the next meal might come from. And we also know that there are never enough beds available for those who need them in Cape Town. And we also recall all too well the chaos around the early days of lockdown and the city's attempts to get the homeless into a centralized camp at Strandfontein, which went so horribly awry. But rather than focus on how things went wrong with that system, today I wanted to flip that conversation over and ask if there is a better way, an alternative model that might help address the issue of homelessness in a more dignified way than the traditional shelter experience. And joining us on the virtual couch is a man who has spent years exploring such alternatives. His name is Richard Bolland, and he recently opened the New Hope House in Muizenberg. It's a model that aims to do a lot more than offer a plate of food and a bed to sleep in. It is a home that offers a work-based program with the end goal of helping residents to earn an income and start focusing on a future and the steps towards accomplishing goals, whether those be finishing their studies, managing to get a driver's license, etc. Richard Bolland, it's a delight to have you with us, the founder of New Hope SA. Thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, Pippa. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's our great pleasure. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction there, Richard, you've been working with the homeless community for years. Tell us a little bit about what led you into this field in the first place.
Yeah, so it has been a long time and a fantastic journey, I guess, trying to learn as I go. I kind of started just as anyone else would, simply without any knowledge
Sorry, we're just losing the line there. I'm going to put Richard back to my producer and ask him to get him to walk around a little bit, and hopefully we can just get a clearer patch of signal so that we can listen to the interview properly. My apologies for that. We'll try and set it right in just a second. But just to recap, we are talking to Richard Bolland, the founder of the New Hope House in Muizenberg, which has only recently opened its doors in that new premises, but goes back quite a long way in terms of the history of how they got to this point. And Richard is going to be chatting to us about some of the early initiatives that fed into this. So let's try that again. Sorry, Richard, you were saying a long journey. You learnt as you go. Just talk to us about the early steps along that road.
Yeah, so it started all in 2009 when I started volunteering at the Weinberg Haven Night Shelter. And that's where I got to know people properly who were considered homeless. And the following year is when my friends and I started cooking some food and eating it with people sleeping outside. We intentionally ate together as opposed to just serve the food, and we felt it was like a better way to connect with people. In fact, one of the ladies that we started with, a Sweetness, she cooked us a nice bone broth one evening, and we kind of ate with her, and so we were both able to kind of host one another. Yep. On the street sharing a meal. And that's kind of that eventually led into us assisting people into shelters and assisting people into rehabs. And fast forward 8 years, and that's when we officially became registered as an NGO and officially started helping people kind of permanently to leave the streets.
Peter, Richard, that sense of wanting to share a meal rather than give a meal is one that you have continued to promote. I know at St. Peter's Church in Mowbray, you've been hosting for a number of years community dinners where anybody is welcome to come and join in and break bread with the homeless community that you're helping. I'm interested to know how well supported those dinners are. Do you see the local residents reaching out and sharing?
Yeah, I think so. I think we try and focus those dinners necessarily be homelessness dinners or homeless dinners, but a community dinner where everyone is welcome, where everyone kind of pursues mutual transformation, everyone pursues equalizing power. We try get rid of those power dynamics as much as possible and focus each on transforming, as opposed to, you know, us with roofs over our head. You know, we don't need to be transformed. If you're sleeping on the streets, you need to be transformed. You know, we try to dismantle that and be able to kind of learn from one another, you know, and And I think that's been where the community has you know, come in and been, wow, this is a place where I get to meet new people and discuss topics of life and sport and faith and, you know, what have you. And so it's been a real amazing community to be a part of, and something that I never really had heard about before or experienced before. And so it's played a big role in my life.
Now, Richard, before we talk about the brand new New Hope House in Musenberg, let's talk about the more traditional shelter model and why it isn't always successful in addressing the challenges of homelessness. Obviously, it's something that the lockdown period has thrown into massive relief. But talk to us about what you think works and doesn't work about that traditional shelter model I mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah, so firstly, it's there are a lot of amazing shelters doing incredible work. And, you know, we too sometimes get it wrong. And so I think we're all kind of susceptible to making mistakes. And I think some shelters, you know, get it right, some get it wrong. And it is about trying to be humble and learning together, I think, is the most important part. Mm-hmm. One thing that is commonly kind of mistaken is that shelters don't really work on a per night basis. Usually speaking, people get go in for a month at a time or up to 3 months, and sometimes that can be extended to 6 months. Okay. And that's the general period that people are staying in a shelter for. If you know, if they don't get kicked out or if they don't choose to leave, that's the general sense. And I think where it goes wrong, and you know, there's it's hard to remedy, but where you have a lot of people, like say there are 40 to 60 people sleeping in a shelter, you are in dorms of 20 to 30 people, you normally have like one or two social workers, you know, that are working in the shelter. And so people are seeing a social worker maybe once a month, once every 2 months. Because there's a lot of trauma associated with living on the street that manifests in different ways. And so people can become violent or verbally abusive. You know, people that are struggling with substance use can steal and take your things. And so where those environments, they need to be so rule-bound because of the sheer volume of people. And people, you know, struggle under rules. I think you and I would struggle under those circumstances. You know, in 2013 I decided, you know, I don't know what it's like to live in a shelter, so why don't I become homeless and move into one of these shelters and forgo my kind of earthly possessions for a week. And you know, it was just a week, so you know, at some point I knew that I was going to go back to normal life, and so I could rest on that. But it was tough. It was like, you know, sleepless nights. My stomach kind of, you know, became upset after a few meals. Like, I was sleeping in the park to catch up on sleep. Like, during the week, we went to the library to try and find work. And, you know, you get 45 minutes on one of those computers and then it cuts you off. And so it's just tough, and you're exhausted, you're down on your luck. It's hard. And I understand why people don't want to go in shelters and want to leave, because it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to live in one. And so when you find yourself out in the street, sometimes you feel like, hey, I can actually do better on my own outside. You know, maybe my chances, maybe my luck will turn and someone will come offer me a job.
Sure.
And so, yeah, that in a nutshell is maybe why it struggles to work, and why we need to maybe rethink the whole system. And it's not to say what people have been doing is wrong. I think we're all trying the best that we can, but systemically, I think we need a change, and we need a revival of how the shelters work.
Which brings us then to the brand new facility in Musenberg, New Hope House. Richard, tell us a little bit about what has happened there and what's different about the model that you're using.
So I think the first and foremost thing is that we operate on a much smaller kind of model. A model that is more associated with a home or a house rather than a shelter. And we, you know, to find one of these houses is incredibly difficult, because you think about trying to find a landlord or a neighborhood which you know, people hear the word homeless people and they immediately turn you down because they think homeless people are going to trash the place or they're going to, you know, there's going to be drugs or something like that. But in actual fact, like, what we have seen is that the opposite has happened, and people that have been included into a community, that have been given back to a community, you know, who've like been treated with dignity and acceptance and like living in a house like a family, you know, we see that people have really enjoyed it, and they've been they've grown so much in the last 4 or 5 months that they've been with us that you know, I'm starting to feel that this way works. It seems like it works. You know, coupled with a work-based program where people are actually finding dignity and meaning through work and getting paid, and also having agency over and independence over their money. We're not necessarily controlling everything, you know, but at the same time protecting people from getting into debt or that type of thing. And because we're working with such a small number of people, you know, only 10 men, we're able to offer you kind of unique services to each individual as opposed to kind of a rubber stamp or a model where you go in the one end, you come out the other end type of thing.
Now, Richard, that kind of focused individual attention, it means the scale has to be kept small, and that means, of course, that the cost is relatively high. How are you managing to fund the new home in Musenburg?
So we've really relied on the generous support of people and family and friends who know us and who volunteered for us to support us. You know, we've applied for about 4 or 5 grant and funding applications, and those have been denied. And I think because we're unattractive, you know, we're not necessarily, you know, feeding 1,000 people every day or, you know, catering for 100 homeless people, that people look at our model and go, oh, they're applying for, you know, so many thousand rand and only helping 10 people. And so we rely on people who understand our vision and who grasp what we're trying to do, and by donating. And so we have an ongoing fundraising campaign on our website. If you visit newhopesa.org and click donate, you can see we've got several different ways. And that's how we're going. And we're waiting for our application to the Department of Social Development to come back to us, hopefully in October, which we're hoping to get a kind of big bulk of donations that will see us through for the next 6 months or so.
Fingers crossed. In the meantime, Richard, those 10 men who were with you, as a matter of interest, did any of them have the experience of being sent to the Strandfontein COVID shelter earlier in lockdown?
Yes, that's right. So 6 of our guys were in Strandfontein, and when Strandfontein happened, I personally my car and went to go find the people that we have worked with and that we know. And I came across one of the guys in the tents, and he was just like, kind of get me out of here type of thing. We need to leave. And then slowly but surely, he kind of showed me other people that were part of our community in Mowbray. And one by one, we kind of got them out of Strandfontein and then into the St. Peter's microsite, and now have moved into our new house since then.
I mean, it was an incredibly difficult time, Richard. This was one of the most vulnerable communities in the city in those immediate days of total shutdown in the early part of lockdown. So much was done wrong, even with the best intentions. When you look back on that, and I know you've been very diplomatic in the way you've said everybody's trying their best and some are doing better than others, but when you look back on that period in level 5 lockdown in particular, what do you wish could have been done differently?
I think when the rumors started coming out about Strandfontein starting, there was actually a different model that was on the table, and that was a kind of a multi-site model that most of us in the sector were excited about. We were like, okay, fantastic, we're going to be smaller, like kind of sections of people around Cape Town they're not getting necessarily completely extracted from their communities and shoved into one big camp. It's going to be a multi kind of faceted approach. And that sounded great. I mean, we were excited for that. And we also heard at the same time that more microsites were going to pop up, you know, that's between 10 and 50 people. And that got us excited, and we thought, okay, this is going to work. And then suddenly, almost overnight, it seemed like to completely change to this massive camp. And I think, you know, that would have been, if they had stuck to that original plan, I think it would have been a far better result. And I've read, you know, articles and reports saying we needed to, you know, minimize costs and therefore like a single facility was the best approach. But I mean, at the end of the day, 44 million rand was spent on this Strength and 10 camp, and it's almost got nothing to show for it now.
And certainly you reinforce the case you've made with your centre that a small, more home-like environment, if you can, of course, afford to support that structure, is the way to go. Final question for you, Richard, is in terms of success stories. I know it's early days, but some of these people you've been working with well before the opening of the new facility in Musenberg. What sort of progress are you seeing being made?
Yeah, we've seen like, it's a question that I get often, all the time, like, what is your success rate? And it's so hard to quantify success, because what do you deem successful? If someone completes 3 months in a shelter, is that success? If someone moves into their own house, is that success? You know, what if someone moves into their own place and then a month later they've relapsed and are back on the streets? Are they still a success or not? And so, you know, we journey with people long term, and so because we kind of 5 months down the line, we consider that quite early days still. So success in terms of our New Hope House is yet to be determined, but success in terms of the people in our long term program has been fantastic. I mean, we've seen people kind of get jobs and become independent, you know, and it's not necessarily independent like you and I are living in a sense of, you know, middle class maybe type of lifestyle, but a place where they can call their own, where they can get a grant from, we kind of call it codependency as well. And that has been great and a success on our part.
Richard Bolland, delight to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us on The Couch. Richard's the founder of New Hope SA, and if you would like to read up more about their work, see some photographs of the new house in Musenberg, or make a donation, please visit their website, www.newhopesa.org.